The Ray Horner Morning Show, on demand on akronnewsnow.com and streaming on WAKR.net.
Joining us live right now from FoxSportsOhio.com, I enjoy his readings each and every day, updating us all on the Browns. Also, OBR.com report, that's the Orange and Brown report. He's our Browns guy, we like to call him that. I'm not sure if he'll adopt us yet, but it's Fred Greetham with us on 1590 WAKR. And Fred, okay, let's start. First of all, today is what? The final day for the public to take in training camp, is that correct?
Yeah, it's the 15th day of training camp, and that's what they're allowed, and that's what was set up as the official training camp that was open to the public. So today's the last chance for the general public to come out there from 4 to 6:30 and get a glimpse for free of the team practicing.
Why do they cut it off today, Fred? Because to me, they still have a few more weeks of training camp. Does it get a little bit more intense in building up to the season? Is that why?
I don't necessarily think so. I think now they're going into mode where it's almost game time preparation. During the week, it changes quite a bit where, you know, they're usually just do walkthroughs the day before the game, then nothing on the game day, obviously, and then they're off the day after the game, and it slows down. So it's just been intense where they've been going 6 days a week up till now. But, yeah, it does seem like it's cut off a little bit early. Each coaching staff kind of has their own thing. I know that practicing in the evenings was different this year. It used to be where it was more in the morning and maybe they had an afternoon or sometimes an evening. But this year, Coach Chudzinski wanted it 4 to 6:30 because he felt like he had a lot of young guys and it was a new system and they wanted to spend the daytime more in classwork and then go out in the evening and practice. So we'll see if it pays off, but yep, it's getting time to start playing games.
Well, Fred, boy, the crowds have poured out. You know, I was wondering how the afternoon practices would work out with the Browns fans, a lot of them always in the past like coming up in the morning. But correct me if I'm wrong, but we've had some days some record-setting crowds up there.
Yeah, they had some really big ones early on, over 4,000, which was the biggest they've ever had since they've been keeping track of it. And, you know, the facility there can only really handle so many. I remember the old days when the Browns trained out at Kent State, had 10,000-12,000 people in the Brian Sipe days, you know, and they were much more unlimited. Here the space is limited, but they've been having big groups. And the other night when they had the family night, they had 24,000 come out for that practice. So that just tells you, you know, that this town is just, you know, so excited for a winner, you know, with the Browns, and the fans would explode. They are really living on the interest from the 80s, you know, on the Browns. And if they can turn it around and put a winning product on the field, I think that this town will go crazy.
Okay, Fred, let's get to the team a little bit. Report is that Trent Richardson is still not sure if he's going to be able to suit up for the game against the Lions. And let's stay right with that running back position. Montario Hardesty gets on the field yesterday and then leaves yesterday with an apparent thumb injury of some sort. So I guess first talk a little bit about Trent Richardson and then go to Hardesty.
I'll put this to rest. There's no problem with Trent Richardson. He's practicing. They're just handling him with kid gloves. I think they're planning on giving him the ball 300 times this year, and he's going to be the bell cow. And they just really don't want him to be dinged at all going into the regular season. He's lobbying to play against the Lions, and once feels like he needs a little tune-up time. I'm not so sure that they're going to play him. It's nothing more than maybe a series. Rob Chudzinski has been very, he said today he's going to go over that, who's going to play in the games. And I would not be surprised if he says he's going to hold him out again. But if he does play, I don't think it'll be more than a series just to get a little time. But there's no problem with him. He's practicing full go. He was with the team drills the last 2-3 days. He's not even receiving treatment on his shin. You know, it's listed that was kicked in the shin. He's not getting treatment on that. So that tells you, you know, that there's not really a physical problem. So I wouldn't be too worried about Trent Richardson. As far as Montario Hardesty, I feel really bad for the young man. He's had so many injury problems throughout his career, and he's been out nagging with that hamstring tendon since July 31st. He came back Sunday, practiced, and was just getting into the team drills yesterday. He took a direct snap. On the second snap, it was Aaron. It was high. He jumped up, and it caught his thumb. And I saw that happen, and you could tell right away he called the trainers over, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has a fractured thumb or it's sprained pretty bad. But when you're a running back, that's kind of difficult, carrying the ball with a thumb injury. So he was heavily wrapped. He walked off the field with the trainer, and he was very upset. You could just tell. You felt bad for him because he's put himself behind the eight ball with the injuries because Deion Lewis and Brandon Jackson have stepped up in his absence. And remains to be seen. We'll find out how long he's going to be out. But if he can't play in any of these preseason games, it's going to be tough for him to make a roster. He might end up on injured reserve or physically unable to perform.
Yeah,
you got to feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, and what complicates that for Hardesty, Fred, and I'll let you expand, is Obanaiah, because they have him listed as running back, fullback, and also his availability on special teams. So he gives the organization a little bit more versatility. And as you mentioned, Lewis with his quickness, and then you've got Jackson who's having a good camp. I hate to say it because he has battled with adversity, but Hardesty right now looks like the odd guy out.
Yeah, Obanaiah is a wild card because he came in emergency a couple years ago when Peyton Hillis and Hardesty got hurt. And if you remember, he was pressed into service. And he was literally signed off the street, off the practice squad of the Texans. But, yeah, he's been very versatile, and they've got him listed as the starting fullback. And because he can do all those different things, I think he's a lock on the roster. And then you have Deion Lewis, who is as well, and Richardson. So it's with Obanaiah, you can really afford to maybe only go with three true running backs because he would be the fourth one being able to play both spots. So, yeah, Hardesty is in trouble, especially if he's going to miss more than a game or two. He's already way behind in the practice sessions with this new system. So, it will be, and actually I'm doing a story on Obanaiah that will be on the Fox Sports Ohio this afternoon. Have one on Jordan Cameron there now, and a wrap up on yesterday's practice. So it's very getting down to the wire here, getting into the games and as they get ready to take on the Lions Thursday night.
Fred Greatham with us, FoxSportsOhio.com, OBR.com as well, covers the Browns on a daily basis. Fred, let me ask you this. With Rob Chudzinski, rookie head coach, and a nice veteran coordinator group he brought in, talk about the interaction that you've been able to witness and see between Chudzinski and Norv Turner. And I always wonder about that. You're looking at Norv Turner, who has years of coordinator experience, play calling experience, and also head coaching experience. How much is Chud leaning on Norv? And talk about that relationship a little bit.
Well, last week was his first actual on the sideline game. And you know, as I know, just in watching, that there's a lot more goes on. It's very hectic on an NFL sideline. We saw that with Pat Shurmur, that maybe he needed more help. And Chud had said that he trusts Ray Horton and he trusts Norv Turner, and he's turned over the offense and the defense to each of them. And so that has been very freeing for him to look at situations and some of the things that he has to do as a head coach. So he's very comfortable with those guys. But then I will say he's comfortable enough to let him know when he needs to step in. There was one time in practice where Turner was yelling at the offense pretty blatantly, and Chud stepped in and said, Norv, let him play. And so he's definitely in charge. but he has great respect for those guys.
I guess that's what I was saying, Fred, and sorry to interrupt you. I was wondering about, because Horton and Turner bring strong resumes, and you know as well as I do, we do well this year. Those guys are going to be back on pages for interviews again. I was wondering, as a rookie head coach, if he is going to be able to flex his muscles a little bit and assert himself that he is in charge, and it sounds like he is.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's confident. He's not the boisterous coach, and you wonder a little bit, is he taking a back seat to him? But I've seen him step up there and assert himself, and I've been very impressed with the way he's handled things. He's been easygoing. He's quieter, but he goes out and interacts with the fans. The other day, he had a couple fans come and kick extra points, and if they made it, the teams wouldn't have meetings. He did say later that he had given tryouts, so he had guys that he knew could make it. And then he had one the other day where if they scored, the game was on the line. The loser had to eat peanut butter sandwiches for the evening. And so he's been mixing in fun times but also getting things done. So it's been pleasant to see him. He understands the fans and what it means to Cleveland, and he's a – you know, he's a native Ohioan, and he gets it.
Well, I think that goes without saying. You know, he's a Browns guy who grew up being in the bleachers and then the dog pound. So I think that's – I guess I was making sure that he had that locker room. Because, Fred, you know from covering these guys each and every day and each and every game, it's important that the head coach owns that locker room.
Yeah, they haven't played a game yet. But in talking to the players, you know, right on down the line – you know, even the veterans, the Joe Thomas, the Dequell Jackson, can't say enough about him. And it helps that he was here in 2007.
Yeah.
And for those two or three years. And they respect him. And I think there's no question that he has the locker room.
Wonderful. Okay, let's get to the matter at hand Thursday night. How much will we see Whedon, the starters? What are you expecting Thursday night from the guys?
Well, they're going to lay out that plan today, supposedly, and, you know, we'll have it on the Twitter and the website. But as far as I expect them to play a little longer, the starters maybe almost through the midway portion of the first half, the second quarter. And then you'll see Campbell in the second unit finishing the second quarter and into the third quarter, and then Hoyer and the third group on offense finishing the game out. So I think it'll be a little bit different, not much than last week, just a little bit longer for certain players, certain ones that they're looking at. And then as far as the third game is the one that everybody points to, is that's next week against the Colts. And then you won't see anything the fourth game, which is ironic because they're still going to have 75 guys on the roster and they have to cut down to 53 within 4 days, so almost everybody will be cut that's playing in those final games.
Fred, is there any competition at all between Hoyer and Campbell, or is it Campbell the number two guy?
Well, the more I've watched it, I think it's pretty much Campbell the number two guy. And the thing they like about him, because he's started quite a bit in the NFL and he doesn't need a lot of reps. Brandon Whedon's taken all the reps with the first team. Usually the backup gets a little bit in, but he's one of those, you know, hurry-up relief pitchers that can just step right in. And I think Hoyer's right there, and they feel confident in him. But I think as far as the backup and being able to get right in there, Campbell seems to suit that position a little bit better right now.
All right, Fred. Well, listen, thanks for the minutes this morning. Maybe we can catch up with you again Friday and kind of get a day-after look. And once again, as Fred, you heard him mention, he's got a story coming out this afternoon on Obanaya, one of the guys battling for a running back, fullback position with the Cleveland Browns. Fred Greatham, FoxSportsOhio.com, also OBR.com, the Orange and Brown Report. Fred, thank you for the insight, my friend. Enjoy the game Thursday night.
My privilege, Ray. You guys have a good day. We'll see you.
The Ray Horner Morning Show. On air weekdays 6 to 10 on 1590 WAKR. Streaming live on WAKR.net and AkronNewsNow.com. And on demand at AkronNewsNow.com.